The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Item number three, Wednesday edition of a numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk as Caleb Williams takes to the podium. Kelly says he lost 10 to 15 pounds in the offseason with better eating and sleeping habits, and he feels he'll be able to move smoother and faster as a result of that.
Yeah, maybe a shot or two as well. You can admit it, Caleb. It's okay. You know, it's okay. Good for him.
He actually probably just had a live-in chef, live-in trainer, live-in whatever, but thinks he'll be able to move a little. He was already moving pretty well. It's pretty good escapability there for Caleb Williams.
I think that checks out, though. Lose 10 or 15. I think we could see a dangerous Caleb Williams again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people want to fade this Bears team.
Oh, I'm not there.
I can't find a great reason to want to.
I believe the last time you were in, we talked NFC North. It's been a while, but I don't know that anything's changed for me. I think this Vikings team is dangerous. And I don't know if I want to say they're being slept on a bit, but as Nick just said, as we've heard from Will, maybe they're not being slept on. The Lions schedule is going to keep them in it. I don't really know they're as good of a team as we've seen in years past. And the Packers, I all remember me and you saying the same thing about the Packers. They have the highest floor to be in the division. I still feel that way. I don't really know what their ceiling is, though. I'm not really sold on what that ceiling.
Yeah, I know a lot of people want to. I think it's like the trendy.
I think that Bears ceiling is real high, though.
I think it's the trendy thing to fade the Bears because of last year and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if anything, that would give me reason to want to back them again this year, because I do think that everybody kind of takes a step forward, having a year together.
Right.
Understanding strengths, weaknesses, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know.
I get the turnover regression argument, all that stuff. I totally understand. The defense has to be better. But if you got a middle-of-the-pack defense, and that offense, I think, like you just said, I think continues to take a stride forward, watch out, man.
PGA Tour Studios will pilot a new announcer-free stream during this week's Rocket Classic, leaning into player-caddy conversations, crowd reactions, and natural course audio. The stream, called Marquee Group Quiet Please, will debut Thursday, PGA Tour live stream on ESPN+. Storytelling elements, enhanced graphics, and real-time statistics will be delivered visually rather than through announcers to maintain focus on the player caddy interaction and the perspective from the course.
Well, Matt, it sounds like a real fancy way of saying we don't really feel like paying some guys to talk about this golf tournament.
Well, they're going to still have the normal broadcast. Yeah, but they're still paying announcers.
But they're adding a broadcast and not adding announcers to it. Now, I think there's a lot of people that hate on golf broadcasts. So maybe this just, hey, you just want to see more. You want to see more golf and more golf shots. I think it's a fair complaint. If that gives it to us, great.
I mean, so I do like when we do get to hear the player caddy conversations. But the problem is I don't know if those are always okay for television. So right. Now that since this is going to be a stream, I think more players will be willing to be mic'd up and things and stuff like that, because, you know, it's a little bit different than being on national television if you end up saying some stuff that maybe you wouldn't normally say in frustration or whatever. Also, just these stats and things being visually presented as opposed to just verbally presented, I think is, well, for someone like you and I, maybe not for the normal viewer, but certainly for like you and I like to see, I would love to see more graphics about the real-time stats and things that are going on and all of that.
And it's not like it's hard to do. I think that's what's been frustrating before in the past. It's just, this stuff is not that hard to roll out. I mean, you are professional television broadcast.
The good thing
is
this will be live tomorrow while we're here. So we'll be able to check it out. Yeah. Now, we can give a real-time, because here we don't have to listen to it, Kelly. That's the thing.
That's right.
We don't listen to it.
If we're talking about more players being mic'd up, I don't care what sport we're talking about, but especially golf, that is only good. It's just, we've got to start being like, this is where I go crazy over Jordan Spieth, right? You just can't stop cramming the same guys at us, right? Like, let's spread it out. Let's even it out. Let's hear from more people. Let's actually hear what more of these conversations sound like and just not do the same four guys every time.
Yeah, I think it's a deal where maybe there's some players that are just more willing than others. You know, it's not necessarily they're being crammed down our throat. It's just Hey, Jordan, you want to get mic'd up? Sure, let's do it. Yeah, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Well, he's also just, so many times he's not mic'd up. He's just louder and more vocal than everybody else, right? Like, don't get me wrong. If I was producing these, I'd be like, well, let's get a camera that's following around Jordan Spieth because he's going to yell and complain about something at some point.
Offensive player of the year over in the NFL, your short shot is Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and Ja'Marr Chase are all the only three that are sub 10 to 1. That is plus 650, plus 850, plus 950, respectively. Puka Nacua, 11. Christian McCaffrey, 13. Justin Jefferson, 14. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 16. Saquon Barkley, 18. As is CeeDee Lamb. And those are your only sub 20 to 1. You get into some familiar names in that 20 to 1 range. James Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Amon-Ra St. Brown. But then it's a big jump all the way to 30 after that, Kelly. And then it becomes kind of some borderline. You got to really do some mental gymnastics, I think, to get to a Rashee Rice or Nico Collins. AJ Brown, I'm sure, will get some interest there at 35 to 1, certainly after some of this training camp stuff starts getting out and we get hearing about all the amazing catches that he made and how he just schooled Christian Gonzalez in practice and whatever and all of that. Amarian Hampton is at 40, as is Kenneth Walker and Ashton Jeanty. George Pickens at 45, Devon Achane at 45, and then it just gets to 50 and longer after that.
Okay, so let's first start with this award. Where have we gotten with Offensive Player of the Year? Is this to you now just a completely, this is fantasy football award, the best non-quarterback, basically? We are running back, wide receiver. Those are the only positions you could look at.
It is. Because we are unwilling to give the MVP award to anyone but a quarterback, right, this is kind of like your side prize.
Yep. Okay, so that's where I'm at these days as well. I'm not even looking at anything else. Look, we're going to talk Offensive Player of the Year and Defensive Player of
also
the Year.
Also, notice I didn't mention a single quarterback in all of that.
No, right there.
Because the books know, too. Like, I mean, they're just like, no chance.
Who's the first one? It's got to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson still. It's usually the case every year.
Jaden Daniel. No, Lamar Jackson's at 70.
70 to 1, yeah.
Oh, Josh Allen's 60. So Josh Allen at 60 is the first quarterback.
You know what? And I've made the case in years, like recent years past, that like, hey, like Lamar, Josh Allen, it's one of those two for MVP every year. This could be a path where that guy gets. I don't think that's a chance anymore.
Nope.
I think we have firmly in the voters' minds moved into it is quarterback. MVP is quarterback. Offensive Player of the Year, we're going with a skill position player. So look, I think there's a lot of guys at the top of the board that you could make a case for. I think the winner is likely coming out of these first 10 names.
Yeah.
I think there are some guys that are overpriced. Like, I don't have any interest in Christian McCaffrey at 13 to 1. Like, I think at some point he's going to look old. He's going to start to look old. We've seen him deal with injuries in the past. I brought up AJ Brown. I'm in that camp. I think that he as a number one receiver, if I'm betting this preseason, I'm looking further down the board. There's not a ton that jump out to me further down the board. AJ Brown is one of those names.
Well, the other thing too, is we got to remember, what are some of these voters going to see from the highlight reels and whatever? AJ Brown is going to put up probably several highlight reel worthy catches, because not only do you have a guy who can beat guys down the field, but also Drake May throws one of the best deep balls in all the NFL.
Right.
And so I imagine we're going to have 4 to 5 different holy S, you know, like crazy moments where we're like, wow, that is the old AJ Brown and what a throw by Drake May type situation where, okay, boom, that kind of goes a long way as well in this. And so it, as far as like anyone longer, he's almost the only name that I really care about. I mean, look, is there a world that exists that I am so incredibly wrong about the upside of this Raiders team, and then Ashton Jeanty lives up to what we saw in college and all that? I mean, I guess that world exists. I'll miss out on it. I mean, I just don't think talent obviously is there. He can do it all. He caught pass out of the back. I get all of that stuff or whatever. I would just have to be so wildly off of my handicap of that team that the bet doesn't make any sense.
There's the other part of, okay, so actually I'll bring this up. Cleve TA put together some of these trends. Last 16 winners made the playoffs. Teams won 10 or more games. Is that a necessity for you to believe in a team before making a bet in this market? Or does it just kind of happen to go that way?
I'm going to guess it's more coincidence than anything else. But
like, because, this is not stopping me from making a bet on a player.
Because usually, if you're going to have a big season, that usually kind of tends to lead to wins.
Well, right? Especially if we're talking receiver, right? Yeah. If you had a big year, your quarterback had a big year. If your quarterback had a big year, you probably won a lot of games.
Yeah. And especially from a running back position as well, right? I mean, like if you're always in third and long and you're never getting like to convert, your stats just get dinged, you know? I mean, it's just like you kind of need a better team where running the ball and you getting more touches remains a part of the offense for more minutes in the game than not, you know?
You know what? I'm not messing around anymore. I saw enough on that odds graphic that we flashed up. I believe that was from DraftKings. 35-1 AJ Brown, when I brought up his name about 4 days ago, was 40-1 over at DraftKings. So I'm not messing around. You're right. People are going to freak out over training camp highlights and stuff like that. And this number is probably only coming down further. I'm going to jump in on that here.
Yeah. I mean, I think of any of the guys that have the bigger numbers attached to them, I like him by far the best. Like by far the best.
Real quick, if for people that are watching at home, who on this graphic do you have absolutely no interest in betting? For me, it would be McCaffrey at this number. Derrick Henry at this number. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown at this number. I'm not betting either.
The problem.
No Rashee Rice.
The problem, as awesome as he is, and this is not because I think that he's washed or anything, mainly like Saquon Barkley just gets so many touchdowns poached because of Jalen Hurts and the tush push and all of that or whatever, that like the counting stats from the actual touchdowns and things like that just get depressed for him.
I'm actually sort of interested in the Nico one. If you think Stroud somehow has a big season, I think Nico Collins at 31 is okay.
We might have to revisit that one. I want to hear what you have to say about that. But when we come back, we're going to shift to Major League Baseball. Mark Borchard going to join us, get his thoughts.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Shanahan nearly lost an eye.
Yeah.
In the crash.
Pretty crazy story coming out.
Nearly lost an eye. And also, not that it would have come out anyway, but like, I guess good on him for manning up and saying, like, no, it was my fault. These people trying to say that it was some kid's fault. He's like, no, it was my fault. Wasn't the kid's fault.
That story was really starting to spiral out of control. Yeah. And I think good on Kyle Shanahan for just getting out in front of it. Or not out in front of it, but cutting it off before it went any further.
Because you want to know why. The kid's 20. Like, the way that we work now, that could ruin this kid's life for no reason. Mm-hmm. He's 21 years old. It could ruin this kid's life for no reason. So at least he came out and was like, no, not what happened. I was at fault, not this kid.
Now, I still have like questions. I was reading about this earlier, and he was talking about how he lost the phone between the seats, that's when he was reaching down to grab it. And they're like, I'm like, read some of the police report corroborated this. I'm like, well, how would they know? I'm like, you can't know for sure. You just got to take his word for it still. Like,
I mean,
I'm sure he's right.
But, all that being said, I mean, look, I'm no 49er fan or anything, but tip of the cap to that, because realizing the gravity of the situation and how we are as a reactionary society now, like, thank you for not ruining this kid's life for no reason.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now joining us on the guest line, Mark Borchard. He's a pro MLB bettor over there at Base Winner over on the Twitter machine. And appreciate the time, Mark, as always. And I know everybody is really wondering here as we get 5 days away from the deadline, if this deadline is going to be consequential whenever it comes to from a betting standpoint. I know Tarek Skubal, the name that keeps getting dangled, but this Tiger team refuses to just lose and go away, and all that division is terrible as it is anyway. I mean, in your mind, is there going to be somebody that gets moved that might actually change how you view the outlook of maybe even the entire American League or National League or something like that?
Oh, for sure, Matt. I think that there's going to be some killer trades. The problem as a handicapper is they're probably going to be right on the last day. So they make it to August 3rd this year, which really puts a wrench in the monthly win totals market. And I would be remiss if I didn't come on, because Gil and I talk about it quite a bit. Congratulations to a Mr. Voice of Sports Betting, Gil Alexander, for 80-1 hit on Boston. And I did the math. I think that gives him like 15 free years. So hopefully,
that's a big one,
hopefully
yeah.
hopefully we're both around in 15 years because we're getting up there in age to see. Well, I hope he hits it before then, but he's got 15 free years, you know? So anyway, what a cool deal for him. And it's really exciting for me, you know, going on the show and talking about these monthly wins to just see how wonderful Boston did, despite for me, like my ratings for Boston, not the greatest. So anyway, I think that there will be some big moves. I just don't know if it's going to be in time to handicap that August win total market. So it's probably really tough. And I noticed they're not up yet. It's probably really tough to handicap that market from a odds maker standpoint. And I think, you know, as far as Scooble goes, I think the Tigers would be not smart if they don't get a lot for him, and perhaps the Cubs, just based on my projections. And I'm pretty high on Cleveland. I think that's maybe a controversial to some baseball hipsters, but I really like Cleveland. I think their value in the playoffs and the division markets, Matt.
Yeah. Is there a team or two, Mark, that you're just, whether it's monthly wins, whether it's other futures bets, whether it's just kind of day-to-day betting what you're thinking a week or two from now with these teams, are there a few teams that you've just got kind of pushed off to the side of, I'll wait and see on this team. I'm going to take a break either from betting them now or not considering them in futures markets at all?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kelly, because not only that, are you going to pull the trigger on some of these teams? And like where I'm showing value on Houston in the division market. I have a 46% chance to win that division, and they're way better than 46% from an odds standpoint. Cleveland, I mentioned too. So you got to think, well, is this team going to deal anybody first of all? And then you got to think, well, are they going to receive anybody? And I think that both those teams that I just mentioned, Cleveland and Houston, are pretty neutral, but I'm showing real good value with them. So I would say, pull the trigger. I have Houston, a 46% chance to win that division. So plus 116. And then you got to wonder, well, is Texas, Seattle going to do anything? But I think that's a fairly neutral projection. And then with Cleveland, I've got them, I think they were like minus 135 to make the playoffs, and I've got them at minus 280. And I think that if anything, you know, Detroit's going to get rid of their guys. The White Sox, I'm not too high on either. And then I wanted to talk about this guy. Sorry to jump in, and I'm kind of all over the place with my ADHD today. So I love it.
Let's do it.
But I wanted to talk about the AL Cy Young market, particularly Gavin Williams at 60-1. And I thought that was really, I mean, first of all, the reason he's coming high on my radar is he's up to number three on my personal ratings. And so I dug in a little bit better. Four straight games with double-digit strikeouts. I don't think you see that a lot. And then if you go to the XFIP number on Fangraphs, you've got Schlittler at 2.86. He's a heavy favorite. And then Gavin Williams, 2.88. Now, if that's not enough, you look at the counting numbers, which are very important. And I know Sheehan's come on the show, and he's right about this. Innings pitched and strikeouts, just from a counting sum standpoint. And the second guy in baseball behind the Miz is Gavin Williams in total strikeouts. So you've got all that going, 60-1. I think that's, I want to say that it's a good roll of the dice, but it's a good roll of the dice, Matt.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that race is not over either, for sure. What do your numbers say about these middling National League teams? So, like, you know, someone's got to make the wild card. And it's like, we got the Diamondbacks, we got the Pirates, we got the Nats, we got the Padres, we got the Marlins, we got the Cardinals. I guess to a lesser extent, the Reds are kind of a week long winning streak away from being in the mix as well. Are there any of these teams you feel like you are higher on than the market, or maybe on the flip side of that, like, definitely think that they're going to fade over the second half here?
Oh, for sure. I'm down on Pittsburgh, and believe it or not, the Diamondbacks, who I've always liked, and I think that they're overvalued in the market, I guess, due to their overpriced, I guess. And then the Nationals, I have them with a 43% chance to make the playoffs. So plus 129. I think they're 7-1 the last I checked, and it's really bolstered. That's a offensive rating bolster. The fielding's middle, 15. Offense, seventh in baseball. And that I guess that would be controversial to some. I think that they're leading the the National League, at least in runs scored. So I think the Nationals probably a little bit undervalued in that particular market.
Yeah, like that. Mark, I know you had a couple. We got a couple bets for today we'll get to, but wanted to touch on one awards market. Manager of the Year, popular on the show today. Thoughts in the AL and the NL for you?
I did, because not because I want to throw shade on Will, because he does a great job. But I thought, you know, he's talking about Pittsburgh, and I'm thinking, well, wait a second. Arizona's higher than Pittsburgh in the standings. Arizona's dealt with injuries to Marte's been out. Carroll's been out. Corbin Burnes, who lives down the street from me, he's out. And I don't know if he's coming back. But so they've overcome quite a bit of injuries. They're ahead of Pittsburgh in the standings. They have the starting pitching's lousy. They're bottom 10 by my ratings, but yet they're still, if the playoffs were to start today, guys, they're in the playoffs. So Lovello at 25-1, I think that's how I would go with that, Kelly. But you know what's funny is you do things in the prism of your bet, and I've been having that bet all year. So Lovello was the start of the year, and so you kind of see it from your prism. But I'm looking at it and going, well, I think at 25-1, he's better than the other guy from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. Well, Will, don't worry. Will and Matt are looking at it the same way, because they've both been on Don Kelly the whole year.
Yeah, mine was just at preseason. Yeah, and I'm just rolling with it, like trying to will it into existence.
It's so crazy that's what we all do. So, all right. Yeah.
Talking to pro bettor Mark Borchard. Mark, we got the Rangers on the road at the Rays today. This is Mackenzie Gore going up against Ian Seymour. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, Seymour's getting the bulk start, and I like him. He's 12th by my ratings. And then offensively, I think we got a big edge here. I've got Tampa Bay the way they're comprised at 12th, and then Texas the way they're comprised, I've got him at 27. So a big edge there, a little bit of an edge in the bullpen for the Rays. I've got them 15th in baseball versus a Rangers bullpen that's 21st in baseball. I think this thing should be priced about minus 180. So you're getting pretty, really good value on this Tampa Bay team today. Of course, yesterday I went against, have you ever done this, Matt or Kelly? You go against Cal Quantrill. I mean, the guy's terrible sabermetrically, and he had his best start of the year. So yeah, they're off that loss. I think they're going to rebound today. Tampa Bay is a good play.
All right, like it. Then one more for you. The base winner parlay of the day. What do you got for us today, Mark?
Got to have a base winner parlay. And it's real blue blood, and it's real simple. It's Detroit and the Yankees. And we talked about Cy Young candidate Gavin Williams. Well, these are the two guys ahead of him, Scooble and Schlittler. And you put them in a parlay, and it pays plus 170. Gosh, how could you go wrong with this, guys?
There it is. There I go. Absolutely love it. He is Mark Borchard at Base Winner over on the Twitter machine. Mark, appreciate the time, man, and good luck.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
Guys, we keep telling you it's ending soon. We got this special going on. Everything we do at VSiN.com now until the Super Bowl, $175. You get our NFL betting guide that's out. You'll get the update for that. We got the college guide coming next week. And you also get the free Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide as well. What? Come on, Kelly. It's $175.
Get it all.
Now until the Super Bowl. VSiN.com/subscribe.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game rolls on. Appreciate Mark Borchard. Always a pleasure to talk to Base Winner about Major League Baseball. A guy does make his own numbers and sticks by what he believes and his percentages and things like that, which is like,
I love
again,
that part. You did it. You took advantage. I love just throwing out team situation stuff to him because like, I know it's on his computer screen right in front of him. Like, yeah. What do you have for this?
Well, yeah, because it's just, you know, that's why we were joking about, you know, we were doing the rundown of what happened last night in Major League Baseball. And basically all it did was just bring more of these teams closer to 500 right. last night. Like every result brought half the league closer to 500, you know, and it's just like, okay, so of all of these teams that are sitting there hovering, which ones do you believe in? Which ones do you not? You know, and which I thought was interesting that he said no on the Diamondbacks and the Pirates, because I think those would be two that most mm-hmm. people would say actually have the most confidence mm-hmm. in, but not for him on the Nationals side of things. Obviously they have been knocking the cover off of the ball. They go out and get an arm. I understand Connelly Early is still rehabbing right now, and they might not have his services for another couple of weeks, but they will have an arm coming. Yeah, you know, they might have an arm coming. I see what you did there. And so, you know, it's interesting to see. And honestly, like you said, I mean, you can find the Nats at a pretty decent price to make the playoffs.
Okay, you know what? It just took me my third book. I was trying it when Mark brought it up, too, and it was down at DraftKings. Since we do have Phillies, Marlins is underway. We are scoreless bottom of the second inning over there. But FanDuel has this up right now. Nationals plus 680 to make the playoffs. What do you say? He had that price at like plus 150? Is that what he said?
No, like less than that, like 139 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So that's a pretty good, pretty good value there if you believe in his numbers.
Did bring it up yesterday. It's like a 500 Nationals team, and there's two players on the MVP board that we're talking about.
We got a first pitch in about 5 minutes between the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. So the two teams that we were just bringing up, they're actually playing each other. Eduardo Rodriguez and Jared Jones going. We had Will Hill on earlier. He is back in Jared Jones and the Pirates here in this one going up against the Diamondbacks. Weird day games. I don't bet a ton of these, honestly. Some of these guys, especially the pitchers, get out of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they are such creatures of habit of how they prepare for a start. And when you don't have the all day to wake up and eat your oatmeal and then take your nap and then do your little, like, you know, Aerodyne bike session and then eat your noodles before, you know, there's just like, they're so regimented for these like evening starts. And then when you start in the middle of the day and it gets you out of your rhythm, like, I don't know. I try to avoid them unless I just really, really feel like there's some sort of edge. But that's not to say that Jared Jones won't go out there and deal today.
I mean, I hear he is. And this is one of the benefits of betting baseball, right? Like, hey, there's so many games that you have the option to bet all season long, right? Like, you don't have to bet every single game. That's the advantage. One of the biggest advantages you have over the book. And yeah, if there's situational stuff like this that you're just unsure of a little bit, pass.
Yeah, it's because, like, mainly two. Because recently you just start hearing more of these guys talk about all this stuff, because the more research they do and the more data they get and the more whatever, they realize, like, okay, I wake up here. If I do this, then I do this. And then I do this. Then that has me kind of like athletically peaked for when I'm going to take when I'm going to take them out.
I mean,
right?
we hear maybe the best example is the NBA players talking about this, right? It's the how late they go to bed, and then you're waking up to start this, and then you're at the gym at this time.
So they know that they are kind of like at their peak when the game's about to start, you know? And it's like when you get them all off rhythm like this, I don't know, just it bothers me, so I didn't get it on them. But that being said, you can go and you can back, tail Will there. He is on Jared Jones and the Pirates. And again, still got a couple minutes before that one gets going.
Caesar's best price I see out there, minus 135, if you have that available to you.
Guys, Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN giving you a chance to play these big contests out here behind us. If you've heard us talk about Survivor and you heard us talk about Grandissimo.
What's that?
And Survivor. Yeah, it's a little deal. You go in and you pick a team. You can only use them once. And then after you use them, then you go like, damn it, why did I use them this week? And I don't have them anymore. And you know the contest.
What if your team loses?
Yeah, then you're bounced. Okay. Yeah. Did you know, Kelly Bidlin, there are actually three different ways that you can get bounced from Circus Survivor?
How's that?
Your team loses.
Okay.
Your team ties.
Or I don't submit.
You don't submit.
There you go.
And we get no picks every single week up until about week nine.
Every single week, man.
Yeah.
Whoa. Up until week nine?
About week nine is when there's zero no picks. Like there'll always, it starts out, there's like 50.
Yeah.
And then there's like 30 and 20 when it'll trickle. And then it'll kind of just be like 3, 2, 1, whatever.
Last year after week nine, we didn't have a single no pick?
After like week, I think last because there was that bloodbath, I think that we didn't have a no pick. Yeah, starting about week 8 or week 9, something like that. Then everyone just was getting them in.
You know what? I used to be so shocked by that. I've now swung so far the other way. I just assume there's at least one every week.
Yeah, and well, I think once the money starts to get at least somewhat real. Yeah, like somewhat real, then you get all that. But anyway, you can win your way into these contests, not only Survivor but also Million as well, the Pick'em contest here. So WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. You got to enter by Sunday, so don't wait around. Just go ahead and just do it today. Go in. You can win a $1,000 entry to Circa Survivor or a $1,000 entry to Circa Million. They're giving away one of each. And with that, you'll also get their proxy service at Winner Circle Proxy. You get a tour of this here studio. Kelly Bidlin will walk you around and show you all four walls.
So you think you came up with that? I volunteered for that. If you want it, I will lead that tour for you.
And free month of VSiN Pro as well. So you get all of that. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN today. You got to do it by Sunday, though, so don't wait around. You'll forget.
Don't mess around.
That's why we make notes. That's why we do the stuff with our calendars. Kelly makes lists.
Oh, my God.
Big
list. My lists are incredible.
Big list guy.
Huge list guy.
Big list guy. Like, if you ever wonder what to get Kelly for Christmas or a birthday or whatever, something like
probably
that.
On a list somewhere.
Like, give him get him something he can make a good list. You know, like, give him a. How many dry erase boards do you have at your house?
One.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'd have thought
I got
three.
It's just a little one too. It's the fridge one.
I would have thought three. In three because they were located in three different locations.
No, man, like this, it's all electronic. Like the notes app is insane. Like, you don't want to look at my notes app, but that is because three different locations, but the phone's always on me, so I can, but then I'm in front of the computer. Like, there are three separate to-do lists going right now for different, like
so it's
today,
just like ADD
immediately
porn.
Today. Yeah, yeah. It's some psychotic stuff in here. Yeah. It's scary.
You know, there's this little thing called AI.
Yeah, I know. One of these days.
You could just get an assistant.
One of these days when I'm probably unemployed, I'll learn about it.
You could literally just sit there and just talk to your assistant and be like, hey, man, I need to do this, 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 and this. Remind me to do this at this day, at this time, and then he'll just do it.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm home making lists. You're home yelling at a robot. It's okay. We each got our
own way. I drive around and talk to mine. I don't do it at home. Just when I'm driving around.
You have to get out of the house.
When I'm driving, as opposed to, because I don't listen.
Do you type to it at the desk?
I haven't listened to music radio in a pretty long time.
Yeah, me too.
I would be great at music trivia from about 2014 back, because I'm pretty good at, like, I hear a song, I remember it, I know whatever, but that forward,
yeah, I'm like,
I'm no good.
94 to, yeah, 20, eh, no, I don't do it. I don't know, not 2014. I was already working at sports radio, but it'd be like 2008.
Yeah, I was a late adopter to satellite radio, so I just, you know, You get to a point in the season where you listen to music because you can't listen to talk about the same stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so yeah, you'd move over. But when I'm driving around, though, it's a perfect time to talk to your assistant. Bounce ideas off of him. Like, this, seriously, you just sit there and have conversations.
Man, I know.
Like,
it's smart. I do have to, I've got to start doing that.
You got
to
get on that. I just completely nuked this whole segment, but it's okay. What win total? What win total do you want to talk about? Because we can't do it next time. I didn't even do my golf picks yet.
I was waiting to see if you were going to pivot earlier, and then I was like, "Well, now we've gone way too late."
I've nuked it. Which one do you like the best? Like, give everybody a solid 2-minute analysis of the one that you like the best.
Well, I'm going to talk. I was eager to hear what you liked at the NBA win totals markets. I've got my bets. I've talked about mine plenty of times. Let's see. The one that I like best is the Jazz over. I think that's a popular one. Jazz over 35.5. That's the one I like best. I think the one that I like the most that people are not going to be as high on, I think the Jazz is going to be a popular one. I think you're going to hear that a lot this offseason. The Rockets for me, over 46.5, Matt. This is a one where this team was never complete last year. First of all, they went over this number easily last regular season. All we're going to remember is from the Rockets burning out in the playoffs. But we talk about this as a regular season bet, going over 46.5, 47.5, even money, that's fine. I would play that too if you're watching at home. But we've seen what they can do with Kevin Durant now. We never saw this team with Fred VanVleet last year. The entire offense was blown up from day one because they weren't operating with their point guard out there. We saw what they still could do when Steven Adams was healthy and dominate on the glass. And it was just extra possessions for the Houston Rockets. Rebound, kick it back out to KD. I think there are more scoring threats on this team. You get Steven Adams back in the lineup healthy this year. I think the Rockets are kind of being a team that's slept on the top of the Western Conference.
That Jazz team that you mentioned that is your favorite. Keontae George, Darren Peterson, Laurie Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Yusuf Nurkic. I mean, if you're talking about like a starting five,
it's legit.
That is a legitimate starting five. Ace Bailey is a reserve. Come in, take some minutes away and things.
And it's big, right? Talking about Ace Bailey. I mean, they are positional size. They've got it everywhere.
Yeah, it's an interesting little starting five there. We did not get to my golf picks. We will get to those and remind you of everybody else's picks here. Final segment when we come back.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Report here, the Texans have had positive conversations, Kelly, quote, positive conversations with C.J. Stroud on a contract extension. So they believe in C.J. Stroud. You believe in C.J. Stroud. They believe in C.J. Stroud.
I kind of believe in C.J. Stroud. I wish I believed in him as much as I did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, and obviously maybe they don't believe him as much either, because they're just kind of like, they're positive.
Oh,
they're positive conversations.
I would be coming up with every excuse possible to try to push off that conversation.
Oh,
is he last year? Last year of rookie deal? Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, what can we do to see one more year of play from him before we really have to make this kind of decision?
Oh, nice. We get us a training camp fight in Cincinnati. Ooh, involving Ja'Marr Chase. You got to get whoever that is out of the way. What are you doing? You can't.
Well, no, it always depends on the position, but that's where someone needs to come up behind Ja'Marr Chase and like grab his arms to his side or something, right? Like, don't let him, he can't throw a punch.
No. And you can't let
his hands are too valuable.
And you basically can't let anyone on the team other than Joe Burrow punch him. Like, right. Joe Burrow has the right to punch him, but no one else has the right to punch him.
I don't want my quarterback punching.
No, I don't want my quarterback punching anyone either. But, like, at least Joe Burrow can be like, I'm going to punch him.
You know, right.
I'm going to punch. No one else has the right to punch Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, so.
Look at this. Scuffle day one in camp. Here's the deal. They don't know each other yet. You know, like a lot of these, you know, they're either newcomers or free agents or like, undrafted free agents and all this. Trying to put your name on the map by getting in a fight with Ja'Marr Chase. Cool. Yeah, good for you. That's going to help your chances of making the team, let me tell you.
That's a good call. All right, we got to my Rocket Classic bets earlier, yeah. Matt. Let's get to yours finally, man.
Yeah, played Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark kind of fit. So you'll kind of see what we were talking about is the kind of the genesis for the way that my card was built, which is I don't exactly know how this is going to play. I don't know exactly how this course is going to go. So I've got the long guy in Wyndham Clark. I've got the accurate iron guy in JJ Spawn. I've got the when they're clicking, the both guy in Nikolai Højgaard, you know, like that. And then just the couple of longer shot guys there in Davis Thompson and Rasmus Nyegaard Pedersen. I would like to say, Kelly, we don't think we're like market movers or anything around here, but maybe this is just people coming to the same conclusion that I did or whatever. But yesterday afternoon, Rasmus Nyegaard Pedersen was 65-1 in the markets out there, as opposed to 100-1. If you look at his profile and kind of what he's done, the upside for what he brings to the table. And again, when you're betting 100-1, he's not supposed to win. He's not even supposed to really contend. But when you have the spike weeks with these golfers, that's what we look for in these longer shot guys. And that's what he brings to the table, because his spike weeks actually have him where he is what we use in the modeling world, green across the board type deal. Like he can gain everywhere. And I think that he's one of the guys that's super interesting to me at the price. Now, listen, 65 is a lot less intriguing than 100. So maybe if you can find somewhere else that he maybe has drifted or whatever, something like that. But like, I probably wouldn't have jumped on him at 65. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it's always one too. You could see if, man, it's amazing to me that this stuff is not as locked in and correlated as you would think it would be. But hey, maybe there's that big of a move in the outright market and not as big a move in a top 20 or a top 40 for a guy like that.
Davis Thompson was 10th in the consensus model for me, and you can still find him again out there in the like 50-60-1 type range. This is a guy who's had some success here.
So glad he did not rate out highly for me. I can't watch his, why does he always look like he's about to cry?
Well, I mean, he's got a. It's his.
It's his face.
He's got one of those. At least he's not Cantlay with the punchable face. He's just got a crying face. All the analysis, by the way, of all of those picks, you can find wherever you get your podcast or on the VEASAN, or I should say, not the VEASAN YouTube channel. The long shot. We have our own YouTube channel over there. So go in, hit that subscribe button if you don't mind. But all the analysis on all those picks you can find over there. I'm also Brewers and Giants over 7.5 today. Like I said, I think Logan Webb continues to get too much respect in the industry. He has been very hittable, definitely very hittable over his last 5 starts. And Kelly, as we pointed out when we were talking about this earlier, he's actually been fortunate. His BABIP against is like 221 over this stretch, and yet he has still been getting hit. I mean, if he was actually just normalized, it would have been even worse for him. So he's been running good, and still pitching bad. And so I think there'll be some runs scored there. Love this Brewers offense. And then look, the Giants, oh, I don't need much help from you. Just tack on two or three and then we'll get to eight. So I like the over 7.5 there in Brewers and Giants.
Yeah, like it over in that Phillies Marlins game. Couple runs early from the Phillies. I believe we're 2-0 Philadelphia at the end of the second. I think that's where we're at.
They were massive favorites in that one, as just as a reminder. Mm-hmm. They have Lizardo going for them, and then it's Gusto going for the Marlins side of things. So yeah, it was a big time pitching mismatch there.
Yep. And real quick, I didn't get a chance to say it on the pod yesterday either, although you probably could have guessed. Wyndham Clark, JJ Spahn rated out very highly for me. Mm-hmm. I know I raged on the pod about JJ Spahn. Your turn. I can't bet him anymore. 7 tournaments, by the way. I looked that up during the podcast. I have bet him 7 different tournaments this year. Not outright at all of them. Not outright at most of them.
His iron play is just insane. And so again, it's just, I kind of tried to balance out the portfolio with different player types that did rate out well for me, considering I'm not 100% positive how this course is going to play.
I'm over. Yep. Yeah, right. Me too. We can hit mine quick. Chris Goddard, yeah. Ben Griffin, Hideki Matsuyama for me. Outrights on all three of those guys. I went top 10s then on Goddard and Matsuyama. Went a little bit bigger on a top 20 with Ben Griffin, who his approach play is really locked in. I'm kind of sitting here laughing because if I just went the top 5 guys that rated out for me this week, Matt, it would be Goddard, Griffin, Wyndham Clark, JJ Spahn would be a part of that top 5. You want to guess the other name though that's in there? He's got a punchable face. Patrick Cantlay.
I'm glad you didn't bet him.
I know.
Win equity is zero.
Zero. So that's it for me. And then NFL brought this up yesterday. Jadarian Price did add that rookie of the year. Now it's also reminding me that I said that thing about AJ Brown like a half hour ago. I'm going to try to do that after the show.
Oh, we got
to
remind ourselves. Yeah.
I'm going to put it on a list. That's what I'm going
to
do.
There we go.
AJ Brown, offensive player of the year. I am going to add that today. That was it for me. We had Will Hill on the show. He is back in on Don Kelly, manager of the year at 8-1. Likes that number still. And then baseball games today, Orioles, Tigers, first 5 under 4. Braves Mets over 8 in the first game of between those two today. Pirates money line -128 versus the Diamondbacks, and likes the Vikings to win the NFC North, has talked about that on the show.
Nick Whalen already also high on those Vikings as well, and high on Kyler Murray.
Big Vikings too. Day. Yeah,
yeah, it's a big Vikings day here on the show. He also said, you know, listen, you look at kind of what you can do in a fantasy draft if you want to zig where other people are zagging, and a guy like Kyler Murray, should he win the job, which we think he will, upgraded offense, does have running upside and all of that. That's kind of like, people are going to be taking the Lamars and the Josh Allen super early in the drafts, where you could get not the same, but similar production out of a guy like Kyler Murray, should everything kind of pan out way later in the draft, where you've already loaded up on running backs and wide receivers, maybe even got yourself a tight end and all of that. Then you come back around on a guy like Kyler Murray, and you're getting similar production to those other guys.
You know what, Matt? It's been a few
in the bull case, right?
Right. It's been a few years for me since fantasy football stopped. I might have to start it up just for that. As he was talking about it earlier, I'm like,
you got fired
up.
I'm
like, dude, Kyler Murray late in a draft sounds awesome. Like that, it's absolutely. I'd be loaded up exactly like you just talked about. Running backs early.
Can we not get a VEASAN league?
I think we could get a VEASAN
like a high stakes VEASAN.
Yeah, I think we can get something together.
Let's get like,
I'm down.
Men 500 buy-in. Because we need people to care.
That will get way out of control, too competitive, but I'm in.
Yeah, because it's like one of those, like, we need people to care. You can't do this is the other thing. If you're doing your leagues, if you're still playing like a $50 league, no one cares. Like, you got to up the buy-in. It's got to be at least 100. It's got to sting.
You know, it's got to sting. You know what part of the reason why I quit fantasy football, though, is just because of the free agency. Like, when free agents would come out, right, and whoever was just there waiting always had such an advantage. Somehow we got to twist those rules.
I hate the copycat fantasy football punishments that we're seeing now, because the original fantasy football group that had the guy that finished in last place have to do the bodybuilding competition that's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard and seen in my whole life. And now it's been copycatted and like it's happened all over. Like, no, come up with your own awesome punishment or whatever. Like, don't just copy someone else's just because they came up with the absolute nuts for it. I mean, that is the absolute best. It's hilarious. This kid's up there with all these giant beef, and he's just like,
all, do all the poses.
Yeah. It's just all flabby and whatever, and just pale white. Oh, like, man. It's so good.
All right,
it's
Mark Borchardt on our way out. Rays money line against the Rangers and the base winner parlay, Tigers and Yankees parlay together.
There we go. Got to get that parlay in there, a little plus 160. What could go wrong? It's just the Yankees and the Tigers. Oh, yeah. Tarek Skubal.
It's Tarek Skubal, man. Can't lose. Yeah, hey, that's moved like 30 cents.
Got baseball going all day long, and stick right here for the network. There'll be tons and tons of more plays. Good luck on all your bets.